Hi there. You're about to enjoy a recording made in Wellspring Church in central Watford. We're glad you've connected with us online, and of course you can follow us on social media, even download the Wellspring app. But much better than this is meeting in person. We would love to welcome you to one of our services in a congregation near you. As you listen to this recording, know that we are praying for you to be encouraged, inspired, and given wisdom from heaven to live life to the full as Jesus intended and bring transformation to your world with his amazing love. God bless you. Okay, now I want to ask a question. What is your view of God? Really, when it comes down to it, how do you picture God? Maybe you picture him as a bit like somebody, I don't know, an old curmudgeon in the corner, smoking a pipe, tutting at the news. That's not how it used to be. Oh, it used to be so much better than this. Or maybe you see him as an angry man in the corner, watching what's happening in the world. And I'm angry about that, and I'm angry about that, and I'm complaining about this. And maybe you see him as being full of sorrow and anger. Maybe you see him as a king who is full of authority, but who's sitting on the corner of his throne, looking for people to smite. Is that your view of God? You know, ready to judge. I'm the judge, and I'm gonna crush anyone who even steps slightly out of line. Or maybe your vision of God is that God is a hilariously laughter-filled father who loves to give good gifts out freely, indiscriminately to everyone around. You see, your view of how God is and who he is actually influenced by a number of things. We understand it is influenced by your relationship with your parents, your relationship with your mum or dad. Studies have shown that we tend to form our view of God very much according to how our parents treated us, or maybe if they were there or not, and how we related to them. That's very influential. Maybe we've formed our view of God, our picture of God, according to what has been taught from people on platforms like this. From teaching we've heard, or maybe from selective reading of different parts of the Bible, of our kind of favorite bits and missing out the other bits. Maybe we have formed a view of God that is incomplete. And I'd certainly suggest to you that more than all those things, even more than the kind of churches that we've been to or the type of church we're in, something even more important should be at work in forming our view of God, and that is the degree to which we are filled with the Holy Spirit. The degree to which we are filled with the Holy Spirit will actually directly correlate to the extent to which we see God as he really is. Does anyone agree with that? If God is the Spirit who reveals the Lord to us, then the more of him we have, the more clearly we will see him as he is. Can I get an amen? So if that's true, I would dare suggest to you that actually, that God, as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we get a glimpse of the hilarious, benevolent, generous, abundant, laughter-filled, joy-filled Father that God really is. And if our experience of his love and grace has not brought us to a point of laughter, I just want to say to you, there's more that God has for you. If you see him as angry or judgmental, then maybe you haven't seen God as he really is. I believe God wants to reveal more of his heart today. And this talk is actually a two-parter. Over this week and then 2 weeks' time is about hilarious generosity. I want to talk to you today about hilarious generosity because my experience of God is that he is hilariously generous. He is infinitely kind. He is abundantly, ridiculously gracious. He's great fun to be with. He is an awesome God. Yes, he is. He's an awesome God, but he's also incredibly fun to be with. And my prayer is that we would be filled with his Spirit again today, that we might have a clearer picture of who he is. Is that all right? Are you with me so far? Now, last week, we looked at the book of Isaiah as David brought our studies in the book of Isaiah down to come into land with that. And I just want to reiterate something that we'll come to in a few minutes' time, and that is God's heart for all nations. In Isaiah 56, verse 6, it says this, I will also bless the foreigners. Hands up if you're a foreigner. Okay, to the people of God, unless you're of Jewish descent, hands up if you're a foreigner. Okay, that's important. This is talking about you, okay? Up until this time, only the people of Israel were truly those who were chosen, but God had a bigger plan that included the rest of us who might not be of Jewish descent. This is what he says. I will also bless the foreigners who commit themselves to the Lord, who serve him and love his name, who worship him and do not desecrate the Sabbath day of rest, and who hold fast to my covenant. I will bring them to my holy mountain of Jerusalem, and I will, what does it say? I will fill them with what? Let's say it again. And we will fill them with joy in my house of prayer. I'll accept their burnt offerings and sacrifices because my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Jesus went on to quote this when he turned the tables because he saw a lot of misery and he saw a lot of corruption in the temple. He didn't see joy amongst all nations. So Jesus turned the tables. I wonder if Jesus would turn some of our tables if we become in any way corrupt or miserable Christians. I believe wherever there is misery in the Christian faith, something is wrong. Because God has given us a spirit of joy in the house of the Lord for all nations. Are some of you, with me? So the title of my talk is How Much More? I believe today God has so much more. I want to ask a question. How much more of God is there for you and I to experience and to know? How much more? Is there any limit to the fullness that we can receive of his Holy Spirit? I'd suggest to you today that there isn't. How much more do you want to ask him for? How much more do you want to feel his fire burning within you? Because I'm telling you, there's a difference between warming yourself by a fire and then having the fire in you. Hello? This is Pentecost Sunday. We celebrate that the fire becomes within the church, and that includes you and me. And as we look at this, we turn to the book of Acts on this Pentecost Sunday, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And I want you to picture this scene. Maybe, and you can read it on the screen if you want to. You might find it more helpful to shut your eyes and to imagine the scene. I wonder what you see. Verse 1, on the day of Pentecost, which is a Jewish festival, by the way, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At this time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are from Galilee and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own language about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk. That's all. They're just drunk. Now, we understand, maybe if you've been a Christian for a while, or maybe because you just got an instinct that it's naughty, drunkenness is discouraged in the New Testament. Okay, drunkenness is discouraged because it tends to lead to us hurting ourselves and hurting other people, and it's not the dignity that God would have for us. And so we discourage drunkenness. Having said all of that, probably all of us at some point have been in a context where someone has been drunk from drinking too much alcohol. Maybe you've had this experience yourself. I'm not asking for a show of hands. But maybe you've been in a room where there has been drunkenness, and there are different types of drunk, okay? This is well documented. There are different types of drunk. In fact, if you go to collegehumor.com, which is not a site I normally go to, I found this, okay? There's the hungry drunk that says, because, well, they're busy eating. The sad drunk says, I really messed up, man. The angry drunk says, let's make holes in things. The not drunk says, I can have fun without alcohol, although they don't look like they're having fun. And the final one is the happy drunk. I love you, bro. I love you so much. My experience is that there are different types of drunk. Let's just go through them. Firstly, can you imagine on the day of Pentecost that they come out of this room, as we've just heard, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. People think that. So look at those. They think they're drunk. Can you imagine coming out just kind of at 3 a.m. philosophical drunk, you know? Hey, look at, have you seen the stars? Wow, look at this. Wow, have you seen, maybe I'm a star. In fact, who am I? Am I really here? I'm the star. They didn't come out with that kind of philosophical drunk, surely. Or maybe the angry drunk. You know, they came out speaking different languages, but maybe if it was the French people, zut alors! Maybe they came out actually condemning, really angry, pointing at people, pointing at all their sin, angry. They were not angry drunk. They weren't philosophical drunk. They were drunk with hilarity. Did you see Hannah? She just fell down the stairs. God is good. God is so good. Did you see what happened in there? They were giving praises to God. They were stumbling over themselves because they were filled with joy. Because the Holy Spirit, when he fills the church, he fills the church with joy. They were rejoicing of the goodness of God. So much so that people looked at them and said, wow, those guys drunk? They were happy drunk, my friends. Hello? They were happy drunk. They were not philosophical drunk or angry drunk. They were happy drunk. Why? Because they had been filled with the Spirit of the living God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The same Spirit that put the Mount Everest where it is. The same Spirit that flung the stars into space now had made his dwelling in ordinary people like Spencer and Tim. It's ridiculous. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Of all nations. And he's able to speak every language. That is hilarious generosity, my friends. And the generosity is the joy to sing the praises of God in every language on the planet. They were happy drunk. When Peter, remember Peter was that man who was warming his hands by the fire. Remember when Jesus was under trial and people said, are you with that Jesus? And he couldn't even have the courage to admit it. So he just stood there by the fire. Now the fire of heaven is in him. And he gets up on this day of drunkenness and he explains what happens. This is in verse 14. Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you. Fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. I love that. Great little detail. They probably hadn't eaten or drunk anything. Anyway, no, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. And then he quotes from Joel chapter 3. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Men and women prophesying. Spencer and Tim prophesying. People from every nation prophesying. Every generation, children prophesying, parents prophesying, grandparents prophesying, hallelujah. This is what was promised, that all nations would be filled with the joyous praise of the God who created them. Hallelujah. How much more could we, you and I, experience the fullness of that kind of joy? How much more could we understand the hilarious generosity of God who would even give his resurrection power to the likes of you and me? It's amazing. Now, I don't know what reputation you have, but I would suggest that sometimes we represent God not that well. I think sometimes the church is known for representing God as being that judgmental judge, you know, the one who loves to smite, the one who loves to point out what's wrong in other people, the one who's always pointing out the sin instead of offering grace. I pray, God, not Wellspring Church, please, God, no. We don't want to be known for being judgmental. We want to be known for saying, come in, it's so much fun here. Even you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You should try this. This is better than anything. It's better than anything you can buy on an off license. It's better than any drug you can buy on a corner of a street. This is the real deal. This is the joy of God. Wouldn't it be great to be known as a people, as a church full of what? Of the joy of the Lord. That's the kind of church I want to lead, my friends. A church full of the joy of the Lord. Where people look on and say, what is wrong with those people? That guy just lost his job and he's laughing. Hello? That relationship's in trouble, but do you know what? They're still laughing. They're still giving praise to God. That person's up to their eyeballs in credit card debt, but do you know what? They're still laughing. They're still full of the joy of the Lord. Those people are not under the cosh of constant despair. Instead, they're rising above the situation. Why? Because they're filled with the Holy Spirit. When the church was born, it was born with joy. And then with that joy out from their mouths came the truth about who God is. How much more could we know and experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Now, when we talk about hilarious generosity, you might think, well, that's about money, isn't it? And of course, when it comes to generosity, we probably need to think and talk about money. But I want to point out to you something really intriguing from the book of Luke. Now, Luke wrote two books, not only the book of Acts, but the prequel, if you like, to the book of Acts was his gospel, which we call the Gospel of Luke. And in Luke's gospel, in chapter 11, there is a conversation that begins with the Lord's Prayer. And we understand that as that's been kind of knitted together from different traditions, we understand there's a line in that prayer that says, give us, let's say it together, give us each day our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. We are told by Jesus to pray for enough bread for tomorrow, today. That's a good prayer. And a conversation about bread continues in Luke chapter 11, such that there's a brilliant story about a persistent friend who wants to borrow some loaves of bread, right? This is about bread. The subject is bread. It's about sustenance. It's about money. And he said, if you're persistent enough, you keep bothering them just to shut you up, they'll give you some bread. That's the kind of message. Then listen to this from verse 9. And this is what Jesus said, okay? And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Okay, these are really well-known verses. And we think they must be talking about me meeting my mortgage payments or my rent or food on the table, right? Or shoes for the kids. Anyway, verse 11, you fathers, if your children ask for, and then some manuscripts include bread, do you give them a stone? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. Let's pause there. What is at stake in this conversation is the reputation that God has as a father, okay? So saying, if you kind of half dads, you sinful dads know how to give good things for your kids, okay? That's the kind of, so what is God like? Listen to this. And I love this. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, let's say it together, how much more will your heavenly father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, for me, I've been preaching this passage for 20 years, not constantly every Sunday, just for those who are visitors. We do use other anyway, but every time I preach this, this still grabs me in the gut. Hang on, we're talking about food, Jesus. We're talking about bread. The subject is, I've got a mortgage payment and I need to make it. I've got some shoes that I need to put on my kids' feet. I've got some bills I need to pay. That's the subject. Listen to this. Jesus says, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I want to suggest to you today that when you follow Jesus, you always get more than you ask for. More than you ask for. How much more? We receive the Holy Spirit from God. The problem is, my friends, is often we're asking him for way less than he wants to give us. Oh, Lord, give us some food. I need to meet that bill. I need to get to the end. And we stop there. See, the Lord says, yeah, how much more will I give you the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is, let's just capture this. This is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, made freely. Everyone say freely. Freely available to people like you and me. To weak, frail, fallen, sometimes sinful people like you and me, we are offered the treasure of heaven. All the angels of heaven are looking on the day of Pentecost saying, oh my goodness, more power than we have as angels has been given to that six-year-old boy. Hello? And he's prophesying and speaking the words of heaven on the earth. Oh my, something amazing has happened here. I'm telling you, something amazing has happened, not just 2,000 years ago, but here today and in the church today. You and I are here because the church was filled with joy. And because everyday people didn't just receive food to eat, they didn't just pay their bills, they received the Holy Spirit. How much more does God, our Heavenly Father, want to give us the Holy Spirit? For those who will ask him, how much more? This is what's on offer, is the moreness of the Holy Spirit. The fullness of his grace is available to us. And you might think, but that seems kind of ethereal. No, I'm telling you it's not ethereal. It is very real. It's very real because you think what you need is your bills to be paid. And heaven says, no, forget your bills. I'll deal with your bills. You need the Holy Spirit. Because whether or not the bills are paid when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter. What we actually need is the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts and minds. That's what we really, really need. And so we can be in any circumstances. Frankly, we could be in solitary confinement. But if we had the joy of the Holy Spirit, we could endure even that. That's a testimony. That's a real testimony from Iranian Christians. Even today, they come out of solitary confinement full of the joy of the Lord. Sometimes for weeks and months in the end. Why? Because they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Because you can take away all my freedoms, but you can't take away the joy of the Lord living within me. And whatever solution you need to find, whatever problem that you need that needs fixing, I'm telling you the solution is found in being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm getting back to my Pentecostal convictions. The truth about Jesus is not going to do it. Not the truth about Jesus. Even the demons believe about Jesus a whole load of things. You don't just need to believe Christian thoughts. You don't even need just to think Christian thoughts. My deepest conviction is that you and I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus. That's when joy comes. That's when we prevail. That's when miracles happen. That's when we can face any eventuality and nothing will stop us. Hallelujah. I should take a breath, maybe. What the church in this nation needs is not better theology, although I love theology and it is important. But let me say, if the better theology leads to a greater appreciation of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, we need it, yes? What I'm saying is we don't just need more thoughts in our mind. We don't need more radio stations. We don't need more TV channels. What we really need is each and every member of the Church of Jesus Christ in this nation to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then I'm telling you that this town better watch out. This nation better watch out when the church is truly full of joy. Because look what happened 2,000 years ago. We're here because 120 people in a room, or however many it was, were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why we're here. So finally, maybe the band can come up. I want to invite you to, let's get practical with some of this. Like I've said already, living for Jesus always gets you more than you ask for. And God is here today, and I believe that he wants to give you more of his Holy Spirit. You might say, well, I've never experienced that before. What is that like? I tell you, there are two kind of broad categories of what the Holy Spirit does when he fills us. It's not all kind of weird and spectacular. It's all amazing. Some of it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. We find ourselves in situations that otherwise would crush us. And we find ourselves full of gentleness, full of goodness, full of faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit begins to grow in our lives. And others, people say, what's happened to you? Well, do you know what? That's the Holy Spirit. There's also the gifts of the Holy Spirit, of which there are many. Some of the very practical, like the gifts of leadership, the gifts of helping other people, the gift of generosity with finances. There's also supernatural gifts, power gifts. When people are given the ability to prophesy, to see what heaven sees, to say what heaven says, and even pray prayers that only heaven understands through the gifts of the speaking tongues. And I want to encourage you. My own experience, my words run out more often than you'd realize. And I get to a point where I think, God, I don't know what to pray. And I'm so grateful that I've been given the gift of praying in tongues. And as I do that, I know it sounds weird to anyone else, but I'm telling you, to God, it makes perfect sense. And he is enabling me to pray and to continuously pray what is on his heart for me. I want to encourage you today that in this service today, if you have not spoken in tongues before and you'd love to begin doing that, a young man in this first service this morning, he said, I want to pray in tongues. I've never done that before. From his heart came words that his head had never formed, and he was able to commune with God in a way he's never communed before. Isn't that cool? Standing right there. And it wasn't any magic, it's just the Holy Spirit filling out, and the joy and the tears running down his face. I want to encourage you today, we're going to invite God to come now by his Spirit. And I don't know what you need more of, whether it's more peace or more patience. I don't know if you want to ask him for spiritual enabling, for something, for the gift of healing. Could be whatever it is. I want to ask you to ask for more. What are you asking for today? And I believe God is here, hilariously generous. So yeah, I can do that. Is that all? What else do you want? And in order to do that well, we need to acknowledge our need for him. We need to come to him with humility. We need to welcome him and say, God, I'm empty and I'm dry. And I'm sorry for doing things in my own strength, God. And I ask that you come and have your way. So what we're going to do, friends, the band are going to lead us in a song, which is a song of invitation. It's a song saying, God, we really want you to move by your Holy Spirit. Because my experience is, the joy I've got has nothing to do with my circumstance. It comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit today. I mean, this morning I went to God and I asked for him to fill me, and I didn't get up until I'd known he touched me, okay? That's why I'm full of fire today. It's not me. It's not great preaching. It's kind of average preaching, maybe. I'm telling you, it's the Spirit of God that's dwelling in me that is so full of joy. There's nothing anyone can say that will take it away. And I want to encourage you today, reach out for that joy. And let's see what he does. So we're going to stand together. And by standing, what you're enabling people to do is to make a response physically by coming to the front. I wonder if you'd be willing to do this. If you want to be filled with more of the Holy Spirit as a sign of your hunger, I'm going to invite you during this first song to come forward, and we'll pray for you and with you. But you don't necessarily need just the prayers of someone else. You just need to reach out to the Lord. So as we sing, come forward, we're going to pray. Let's see what God wants to do. Holy Spirit, we invite, thank you that you're here already, and we say, God, yes to you. Have your way among us. Do your work. Fill your church again, we pray, for the glory of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thanks for listening to this recording. We hope it has encouraged you, challenged you, and more than anything, that you've heard the voice of God and been aware of his presence with you wherever you are. Do share with us any answers to prayer, or get in touch if there is any way we can help you further on your journey with God. Come and see us on Sunday, or you can email us at admin@wellspring-church.org. May God be near you and his peace be yours for the remainder of this day. In Jesus' name, amen.